Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful again for this opportunity to come into your presence, come boldly before the throne of grace, to find out what your eternal purpose is for us individually, for us as the church, for your creation. We thank you, Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit is here to lead us and guide us into all the truth. He is the great teacher here tonight. The words that I speak, they are your words that are spirit and they are life, and they can bring transformation, the renewing of the mind, the salvation of the soul. We humble ourselves and thank you with meekness. We receive your engrafted word. We honor you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed, said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, Jesus was sent for a purpose. We've looked before at scriptures that says, Luke 4:43, I must preach the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, for I was sent for this purpose. We're talking about an eternal purpose based on what we just read in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to look at that tonight. In John chapter 18, also says, when Jesus is there before Pilate, and he gives Pilate this answer, for this purpose I was born, and to this end I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. We know from John chapter 12, verse 27, he was troubled, and he said, my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. And there's a question mark there. He's basically saying no. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. He knew he was going to suffer. He knew that he was going to go to the cross. He knew what he was going to do. He knew that he came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says that. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested or revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So I just give you four quick verses there to understand Jesus came with a very specific purpose. Do you think that his purpose is our purpose?
Yes.
If that was his purpose, that should also be my purpose. Anything that he's done, he says, as he is, so are we in this world. Now, if he came to destroy the works of the devil, if he came realizing that there's a certain time or a certain hour, in a sense, that we may have to go through to get accomplish what God has asked us to do. We are to preach the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. For this reason we were sent, for this purpose. For this purpose I was born. And to this end, he says, I came into this world to bear witness to the truth. And you'll say, well, I didn't know that I was born for that reason. Yeah, you were. You came into this world just like everybody else. And we have an assignment. And that assignment is the Great Commission. And that is to share the good news with somebody. It's pretty simple. So, if that was his purpose, and he was sent with a purpose, I think what we need to look at when we read Ephesians chapter 3 and find out, okay, I have an assignment. I have a responsibility. I have something that God has also spoken to me about. Now, what he's asked you to do is going to be different than what he's asked me to do. Years ago, he went and interrupted my life. I had a nice life, a good job, a wonderful family. And God said, give it all up. No. What did he do? Has he ever interrupted your life? Huh? Yeah. It's amazing how sometimes he'll come along and say, I want you to do this. And you're going, I really don't want to do that. But you know, you don't ever win an argument with God. He usually wins. Now, you can rebel and you can drag your feet, and that usually hurts. You usually get blisters. You drag your feet too long. Just go with God. If he asks you to do something, just go with him. Because you know what? It may be difficult, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because that's what it may feel like at a time. And that's what it felt like when I felt God said, I want you to give up your career, and I want you to go into the ministry, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. I was like, God, I really don't want to do that. And, you know, I knew specifically what he was calling me to. The fruit was there, the evidence was there, everything was pointing that, besides getting called out three different times within 1 year in meetings by men of God and basically rebuked and told to go do something. God's asking you to do things. Now, he's asking you little things. You know, I don't think I would have heard him on the big things if I hadn't learned how to listen to him on the little things. That's what Pastor Mary was talking about in the Quip class. So here we are. We're looking at this purpose. And we closed last week, this is about as much review as I'm going to try to do here, talking about submission and resistance. We submit to God. It's to submit yourself to God. And then what? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. People want to resist the devil, but you have to first submit to God. You can't resist the devil without submitting to God. We established that last week. Go listen to the message. We ended on Acts 26, so turn over there, please. Keep your place in Ephesians 3 because we're going to come right back. This is all part of my review. Acts 26, verse 16. Paul is sharing his testimony. Paul is giving an account of his purpose in life. It changed. Like many of us, our purpose may change at some point. Acts 26, verse 16. Jesus was speaking to him, and he said, I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Now personalize that. Put yourself, has he appeared unto you in the sense that he has ever spoken to your heart? Has he ever put an impression in your heart about something? He has. Almost all of us, he, at some point, he's probably that still small voice has said something. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of those things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Now, to do what? Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So here we are. We've been entrusted with this power to turn men's hearts. What are we doing with it? Have we just, are we continuing to perfect it? Think, well, I haven't got it all down yet, so I better not say anything. I don't have it all memorized. I don't have all these scriptures memorized that I need to have ready. I don't think we'll ever be ready. Sometimes the most zealous Christian is the youngest one. Sometimes the one who invites more people to church is the one who's the newest to the church. Because why? They have realized how exciting it is. This has really done something for me. This has really started to change my life. And so there's still some excitement. There's still some zeal. They haven't settled in. Some of us settle in sometimes. And in this case, Jesus appears to Paul, and he has to have a dramatic appearance. Some of us needed dramatic appearances to open our eyes, to turn us from darkness to light, to turn us from the power of Satan to God, so that we could receive forgiveness, so we could receive our inheritance. Every one of us, in a sense, has already been a recipient of this, and now we can do the same thing with someone else. We become ministers. We become witnesses. So what do we do with this? So now turn back to Ephesians 3. Let's submit to the things of God and resist the enemy's temptations to come steal, kill, and destroy whatever God's been giving us. All right. Let's start back in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, because I want to put this in context when we verse 10 and 12 we read earlier. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God which is given to me towards you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Underline that phrase there. Understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Back in verse 3 at the beginning of it, say, how, underline this, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. We're going to start talking about this mystery, because it's really not a mystery anymore. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me for the effectual working of his power unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Now see, we always kind of glorify the Apostle Paul like he was, wow, I mean, he wrote half the New Testament. And is he being real humble here? Or what? And he says, it is this grace that was given to me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. There's that word mystery again. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence by faith of him. You know, I'm one of those guys that if I'm going to watch a movie or if I'm going to watch a TV show, I mean, if you come into my office and look at all my non-Christian religious books, most of which you're going to find are mystery books. I have a lot of Agatha Christie books. I have a lot of Rex Stout books. Some of you have no idea who that is. But I like mystery books. You know what I like about them? I like to solve puzzles. I like to solve a mystery. There's things in those things that as I'm reading them, you know, the wheels get going, who did it? The whodunit. When my wife and I watch movies, you know, mystery shows and things like that, you know, it's really a good thing to have the Holy Ghost, but sometimes it's not. Because about a third of the way of the show, she and I look at each other, and we both go, and the Holy Ghost says, it was that guy. It's like, I already know who done it. And by the time you get to the end of the movie, sure enough, we knew who done it. Once in a while, you'll find a show where we watch it, and at the end we go, whoa, we didn't see that coming. You ever watched a show like that? Mm-hmm. It just catches you off. And so sometimes there's a mystery that really isn't quite so mysterious. It's kind of obvious. You kind of know what's going on. That's why I like certain authors like an Agatha Christie. She throws so many different, you know, potential, you know, people who could be the bad guy that you go, maybe it's them. And then, no, maybe it's them. No. And you go through the whole thing, and by the time you get to the end, you got so many. They could all have done it. And then you realize, oh, and then you always have the big climax at the end, you know, where the guy is standing there and he has everybody in the room and he goes through and he goes around to every person and you could have been guilty and you were guilty because of this and you were guilty but it was really you. All the rest will go whew. See, I love a good mystery. You know, the Bible shouldn't be a mystery though. It was a mystery. It was a truth that was hidden for generations, it says. But now it is made known. Guess what? We got to the end of the book. You know, I used to read mysteries like this. I'd start a book, and it was a big, thick book. And when no one was looking, I'd go like this. I'd read the last couple pages when it was the big, you know, the big to-do when he was exposing it. I'm sorry. Oh, that's who it's going to be. Okay, now I can read the whole thing. Now I can watch for that guy through the book. See? That kind of takes away the fun of reading the mystery, though, you know, when you do it like that. So if the gospel is a mystery, it's only a mystery to them that haven't read the book yet. It's only a mystery to those who haven't heard about the story. If I were to say who Rex Stout is, a lot of you are going, that's a mystery to me. But he's one of a very prolific author of old, I read old time books, you know, books. Mystery books that were written back in the 30s. And actually, my favorite is Sherlock Holmes, you know, 100 years ago. Because you don't have all the smut in it. You don't have all the foul language in it. Mm-hmm. It's actually G-rated.
Yeah.
For God. That's what that means. It's godly. That's good. It's okay. But when you're reading this in Ephesians chapter 3, and it talks about over and over how that the revelation he made known unto me, this mystery. He says, I've got a dispensation of grace, and he made known unto me this mystery. Paul saw something at the very beginning. He saw the end from the beginning as God was speaking to him. He saw what was coming before anybody else had since saw it coming. And he had to fight for it, didn't he? He saw that God was going to restore a relationship with all of humanity, not just the Jews. And he had to use Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisees, to go out and say, I want you to preach to these Gentiles. And Paul, everything in him said, I can't even sit down and eat with a Gentile. I'm a Pharisee. I have nothing to do with those people. They are the worst kind of people. I know. I'm pure. I'm a Pharisee. I'm God. I'm a God person. I don't have anything to do with those people. And then what did he say to them back in Acts 26 that we read tonight and earlier last week? He said, I'm going to send you to the very people that I delivered you from, and I'm going to send you right back. So sometimes when God says, I want you to go talk to that guy that you can't stand that you work with, or some of you younger people, that student that's giving you a hard time, keeps bumping you into your locker, or put you in your locker. When do you not give up? When do you speak the word to that person or pray about that person? When do you decide, you know what, you're going to walk in love towards that person anyways? Because, you know, you'd love to just do something else. Yeah. Now, that revelation of this mystery was made known. He says, I want you to understand in verse 4 how I came to understand and come to the knowledge of this mystery. God opened that up to him, and he started to see it, and he says, here is the revelation of this mystery. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. All of a sudden, they're going to be grafted in. The Gentiles, those nasty Gentiles, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, if you've been around here for a while, you know that we talk a lot about the in him scriptures, the in him principles. There's over 100 verses in the New Testament that talks about being in him. What does that mean? Because we are born again, because we're a child of God, we are in the body of Christ, we are part of him, I'm in him, he is in me, we are one in Christ. There's all those in him scriptures, and he says, I'm a partaker of those promises in Christ. And how did that happen? Because by the gospel, the good news. Someone had to give me that good news so I could feel and understand and know and, in a sense, appreciate my position in him. Because today we still have a majority of Christians who do not know who they are in Christ. They just don't know it. And so they believe a lot of crazy stuff. They do a lot of crazy stuff that if Jesus was standing there, they would never do. They'd never say that. They would never think that. They would certainly never act that way if Jesus was standing right there. And let me just tell you something. Jesus isn't standing right there. He's standing right here. Greater is he what? In me. I know people have this religious idea of, well, God's looking down from heaven. No, he's not. He's looking from within. Hello? Greater is he that's not up there. This mystery that's been revealed is revealed here in my heart. In my spirit man, in the real me. I'm born of the Spirit of God. I'm one with him. If you're a child of God, if you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you are born again, you are a child of God. He is in you already. Oh God, kumbaya. Won't you send the Holy Spirit? He did. God, won't you come? He has. Thank you. See, he's speaking already. Come, Lord Jesus. This mystery is being revealed. It says, look at verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He says they're unsearchable, but we're always searching. And to make all men see. Our job is to get men to see. Well, we have to see it ourselves first. I can't get someone to see something unless I see it first. You know, this afternoon my wife and I were sitting in our kitchen area and we were eating, and She goes, "Oh, look!" And I'm like, "What?" We have windows all the way around one side and then another side. And she's sitting looking the other way. And you wanna, when I say it, she goes, "Oh, look!" And I look, and I see a wall. I had to get up to look out the window. And there were some deer running across the back of the yard. Well, isn't that great that she saw them and then wanted me to see them, but I couldn't see them because of where I was positioned? Did you get that?
Yeah.
See, if you're in Christ, if you see your position in Christ correctly, when someone says, "Can you see that?" You go, "Yeah, I can see that." There's no wall. Pastor Mary was talking about the roof that might be the object that is keeping you from receiving your healing in the equip class. Again, listen to that lesson that she did it last week and again today. There are so many things that in our life might be a roof that keeps us from breaking into that place where the power of God is present to reveal what we need. So what is our roof? What, in that case, what was my wall? What? Now, see, some people say, "Glory to God, give me a sledgehammer, I'm going to move that wall." Why don't you just get up and move? Hello? See, sometimes we need to move into a place to receive and position ourselves. The man let down by four, he was paralyzed. He couldn't really do much for himself. Four other people had to come along and lift him up, bring him to that place, drop him down, tear the roof off, drop him into the presence of Jesus. It says the power of God was present to heal. And I always love that illustration because it just reminds me of a room like this, full of the power of God, and somebody starts ripping the roof off, and if I'm preaching, I'm going, "Hey, you're interrupting me." Do you think Jesus was moved by that? He's looking. He saw their faith. Yeah, he saw their faith, all right, ripping the roof off. And then all of a sudden, here comes this guy. No, he's paralyzed. I'm just sure he's grinning like this. "Ha ha, here I come." He's on this bed, you know. He's got to trust these guys. I mean, they're dropping him down on a rope. He's on a little bed thing, you know, on a cot. And then he's dropping him down. And all these religious things. "Oh, man." Now, again, tradition teaches that was Peter's house. Now, we know the temperament of Peter. I'm sure he's asking, "Now, who's going to pay for that? Who? Hey, I just had my roof fixed. Come on, guys." Huh? Here comes the guy. He's grinning. Drops him. It's just like a tea bag. Dipped him right into that power of God. Dipped him right in there. The revelation is revealed. A mystery. See, the mystery was to all those other guys sitting there, and they couldn't see it. They couldn't get it. The power was present, and they couldn't see it. Do you know how many times people are sitting in a church this weekend, and the power of God is going to be present, and they're not going to see it? The power to get saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, have an answer come that they've been seeking for so long, having some assurance come to their heart, and then and they're not going to see it because they're thinking about this and they're thinking about that and they're playing zombies on their phone or doing something else. I don't know. You still play that game?
Yeah.
Whatever it is. I can't keep up with these games. There's a mystery. From the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Now, just think of this. Jesus was there at the beginning of creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three were involved in creation. All right? Now, when Jesus was there at creation, the first creation, he was the Word made flesh. Amen. He and the Word are one. So when it says the Word created something, what do you think that means? Just a thought. Who was there? It just says Jesus was there. The Word was there. The Word spoke into existence those things that we see all around us today. Out of nothing came something. Because out of God, creation was formed. So what's the difference now about the new creation? Out of an old life, out of us as old sinners, as the religious people like to say, I'm a new creation now. Something new was created. Out of nothing, something new was born. A new creation. God spoke that into our lives, when we accepted him and received that word, as we prayed, as they call it, the sinner's prayer. I like to call it the saint's prayer, because we get saintly when we pray it. Amen? So here we are. This thing that happened to the intent. I love verse 10. Oh my. Pay attention to verse 10. That's why I started there. To the intent. There, God had an eternal purpose. There was an intention here. That now, everyone say now.
Now.
Right now. You may not catch this, but I'm going to believe God you do. Right now, unto the principalities and the powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Who are we?
Church.
Every believer is part of the body of Christ, the church. The church, the manifest wisdom of God. Do you know that you and I are revealing to the spirits all around us, angels and demons and every other kind of spiritual being, they're looking at the church and they're going, wow, we did not see that coming. See, the mystery is being revealed. It's being revealed by the church. The church, in a sense, is telling the story and, unraveling this mystery by our lives, by the way we act, the way we talk, the way we live. And it says, again, let's read that, verse 10, verse 11. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. In other words, the church is the one who's going to do it. The church is the one that's going to reveal this. The church is involved, going to do what? The manifold, the many-sided wisdom of God. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we, remember the word now is still in operation here, in whom we have now boldness and now access and now confidence by faith of him. Now notice, depending on your translation, it says faith of him, not in him. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about my faith in him to begin with. It's about his faith in the church. It's about his faith that he has in the church. Do you know, when Jesus went to the cross, he had nobody really, in a sense, hanging with him except John and a few women. The rest of the disciples did what? They abandoned him. In fact, they even denied him. You know, and Jesus, looking around going, oh boy, this is a great start to the church. Just about everybody gave up on me. You ever felt like just about everybody gives up on you sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you have faith or trust or confidence or boldness. And when we look at his faith, he had faith in what God, the Father, and he, in a sense, understood was his assignment. And I love this. It says that the principalities and the powers looked on this, and it says, that had the devil known what was going to happen, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. It was revealed, but it was too late. I know that sometimes I get in trouble with people with this, but I believe Jesus suffered primarily on the cross. I know that there's doctrine and there's tradition that teaches that he suffered in hell for 3 days. I don't know if I totally 100% agree with that. I think he got into hell and he raised hell.
Yeah.
He took on principalities and powers.
Right.
And he stripped them of all authority. And he let captivity and he led them out. He was victorious. Because you have to remember, the fire in hell is not the devil's fire. God is a consuming fire. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Hell is a place that God created for those who have rejected him and denounced him. And so the fire of God that is a consuming fire for evil is a cleansing fire for good. And let me ask you this. Did those three Hebrew children get thrown into the fire? Did they come out?
Yes.
And what did they see in that fire with those three Hebrew children? Someone like the Son of Man. And they came out not even smelling like smoke. You ever been in a car with someone that smoked? You go, where have you been? Phew. And these guys came out of a flaming furnace, and they didn't even smell like smoke. So here's Jesus going into hell. He's not tormented in the flames. He gets down there, and the Holy Ghost, the fire of God that's there, the presence of God that's there, goes, "Hey, Jesus, good to see you." Abraham and all those saints that were waiting, finally. And he led captivity captive. And he gave gifts unto men. It says that the dead were walking in Jerusalem. Men came out of the grave. People saw him. Isn't that a shocker? The fellowship of this mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Who was the creator? Who was actually the creator? It's like Jesus was there hands-on in creation. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers, in heavenly places, in the realm of the Spirit, we could even say, it might be made known by the church. The church is the vehicle through which this revelation is going to continue to be made known. The church is going to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. And sometimes you look at the church and the church looks really dumb. The church doesn't look like it's got its act together. The church doesn't look like it. The left hand knows what the right hand is doing sometimes. People ask, and I used to ask this when I was an agnostic, and I used to criticize Christians and say, "You guys are so divided and so full of strife, you can't even agree on hardly anything." That's why we have 5,000 denominations, you know. And tomorrow a new one will start. Well, the manifold wisdom of God and the church are revealing something to the principalities and the powers all around us that we're gaining ground. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And those gates are defensive gates. Those aren't offense. The devil's not on the offense. He's on the defense. Remember that. Every single day there's more of us and we're gaining. The good news is there was a finite number of fallen angels, a finite number of demons. You know, demons don't have babies. Regardless of whatever goofy movies you watch. All right? They're not reproducing. There was a finite number that were created. And the more human beings that are born, thank God we're going to outnumber them eventually. But there's more angels with us than there are with them anyways, right?
That's right.
Have you got guardian angels? Amen. Do you keep them busy? I do. I keep my angels busy all the time. We're making them know the heavenly these principalities, these powers in the heavenly places, they're being revealed. I'm letting the church, by the church, we're letting them know what's going on. We're letting them know the wisdom of God. We're letting them know this eternal purpose, which was purposed in Christ. Verse 12 is where we'll need to get to. In whom we have what?
Boldness.
Everyone say boldness.
Boldness.
And we have what? Access. And we have what?
Confidence.
Those three words. And I got three more pages of notes. And I'm going to quit. We'll bring it back next week. Because when you look at these and you see this mystery that's been hidden that now is going to be revealed. We'll come back next week and we'll talk about the boldness, we'll talk about the access, and we'll talk about the confidence. Because each one of these is something that you and I have now. And yet the church does not act bold. The church does not realize the access that we have in heavenly places. The church sometimes lacks the confidence to stand up and do what it is supposed to do. And yet it's saying very clearly, by the manifold wisdom of God, the church is letting the principalities and everyone else know, we're bold, we have access, and glory to God, we've got the confidence because of the faith of Him. His faithfulness. Not my faith. His faithfulness. See, we got to get a hold of that. Because so many times we're thinking we can't do it because, I'm weak in faith. I don't have enough faith. It's not about your faith in this situation. It's about His faithfulness. And the Bible says, if we're not faithful, yet He abideth faithful. And we'll come back and look at that. Let me close with Colossians chapter 1. Again, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And he says right in the beginning, chapter 1, verse 25, Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. He says, this is the New King James, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you. He says, there's something about the stewardship that God has that he gave to me. And he says, I became a minister because of this. To do what? To fulfill the word of God. To do the word of God, to fulfill it, to act it out, to be a responsive participant of my assignment. Verse 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, all that I just gave you back there in Ephesians chapter 3 and what you're looking at here now in Colossians chapter 1, all about this mystery that's being revealed. His eternal purpose is that whatever used to be hidden before the cross, before Christ's coming, has now come on the other side of the cross, and everything is wide open, and the church is responsible to reveal it to the world. Even the angels and the demons didn't understand what was going on. I don't think the angels fully understood God's purpose and plan. They were looking at it and they go, now I get it. And they're given to, in a sense, minister unto us, the heirs of salvation. And they hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord their God. And who's speaking the word in the earth today? You and I are. So when you speak the word of God and you put that authoritative word out there, what do you think an angel is responsible to do? Carry it out. Now, you can't tell an angel to do things that aren't scriptural, aren't biblical. Huh? Angels, go down and get me a Big Mac, will you? I ain't going to fly. But see, if you've got an understanding of what is yours as an heir of Christ, your inheritance, this mystery has been revealed, and they're going, all right. I'm sure those angels that have been around eternity looked at humanity and thought, God, what are you up to? These guys are a mess. And you're really going to do something with this? And then Jesus comes along, and he's just preaching the gospel, and he's telling all these things, and he's prophesying this stuff, and these angels have been around, they've known all this prophetic scriptures, and they're looking at history, and they're going, God, I don't know how this is going to happen. All of a sudden, it all comes together. And they're going, duh. So that's what it is. The mystery being revealed. His eternal purpose. He says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God. God gives you and I, each one of us, a particular stewardship over the assignment that we have. My assignment is different than yours. Mm-hmm. Now, people ask me, what's your definition of success? And I always say, find God's plan and purpose for your life and pursue it with all your heart. Mm-hmm. That's success. It's not how much money you make. It's not what kind of job you have. It's not your accomplishments. You find God's plan and purpose for your life. And then you pursue that with all your heart. Because you have a divine purpose. You have an eternal purpose. And it says here, to fulfill the word of God, this mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations has now been revealed to his saints. That's to us, to whom God willed to make known to us, has been revealed to us, the church, to us, to them, the church, us, the saints, God will to make known what are the riches of this glory. This mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this revelation of righteousness by faith, which is, we talk about that all the time, it comes because we know who we are in Christ. It's our identification in Christ. If you do not know who you are in Christ, then the devil will help define who you are. He'll tell you who you are, and he's a liar. That's not who you are. I know who I am because of what Jesus has said, because of what Jesus has accomplished, And he's got the last word on the subject. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful again for this time. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we're all on this road, this journey of having this mystery revealed. We thank you, Father, according to your eternal purpose that you purposed in Christ, we can have boldness and access and confidence in your faithfulness. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the good work you've begun in each and every one of us. And as your word says, you will bring it to completion. We may not see how it's going to work. We can't see always the end from the beginning. But we trust you. We know it's a hidden mystery, but it's not hidden from us any longer. Some of these things were hidden for us, not from us. But I thank you that now they're hidden and revealed. Those things that were hidden are now revealed to us, the saints. So that as your word says, you willed to make them known to us the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Help us understand that identification. Help us understand, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If there's anyone here tonight that does not know Jesus Christ, that tonight is their night, before they go home, they're going to ask and come up and talk to me or someone else. And before they go home, they're going to know that they know that they know that they're part of the body of Christ. That today is the day of salvation. Today, we won't harden our hearts. Today, because we've heard the truth. There's something bearing witness on the inside. That spirit man on the inside says, yes. If we're a child of God, we already know this truth. We say, yes, Jesus. Yes. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is leading us and guide us. We thank you for the good work. It's a good work. We may not always see the fruit of it right now, but it's a good work. You don't ever do a bad work. You do a good work in us. A good work. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, some of us in this room were brought up in different religious traditions and doctrines, and there was a real unworthiness that came from the religious teaching. And that unworthiness may have scarred you or may have influenced you. The Spirit of grace is saying unto you right now tonight, that's not who you are anymore. You're a new creation in Christ. Jesus, the one who was there at the beginning and created everything out of nothing, created a new creation on the inside of you. You are not what the world or the enemy has defined you as. You are a new creation. See yourself from God's perspective. See yourself as that new creation. See yourself and identify yourself in Him. Identify yourself in Him. The hope of glory. His faithfulness. His faithfulness. Too many of us beat ourselves up because we feel like we haven't been able to be totally faithful. But He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. It's His faith that my faith is in His faith. My faith is not in my own faith. My faith is, my trust, my confidence is in His faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We take authority over that accusing spirit. We know that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. No, in the name of Jesus, you liar. Light, light, light and life. Light exposes the darkness. Light exposes that darkness. Light is coming forth tonight. Light is coming forth from within. Light is coming forth in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The glory, the hope of the glory of our identification with Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. According to your eternal purpose. Thank you for that boldness. Thank you for that access. Thank you for that confidence. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.